things tonight. This is but a simple chart that relates God's outline of history. And it relates to the divisions in the book of the Revelation. I hope if you would like a copy of that, you'll pick it up. And we'll be studying those things in the coming Wednesdays. Now then, this morning, I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bible to the Psalms. The very last Psalm, Psalm 150. Psalm 150. And I'd like for us to read this entire Psalm, only six verses. And today, I want to talk to you on the subject, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I even like the sound of that. And I think any child of God loves the sound of praise being given unto God. And I know of nothing that we need to do any more of than to simply praise the Lord. In Psalm 150, at verse 1, the psalmist concludes this great book of the Psalms with this marvelous theme of praise. And he says it like this, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I know nothing that thrills the heart of God any more than for His creatures to praise Him. On the other hand, I know nothing that disturbs the devil and his crowd any more than for praise to be given unto God. Of all the things that would disrupt a very, well, a church that does not believe the Word of God and denies the fundamentals of the faith, I don't know of anything that would disturb a service like that any more than for somebody just to stand and praise God for who He is. It's a strange thing, but when people give praise to God, it makes some people nervous. It somehow just goes against the grain. And I think I know why. It is because rather than our willingness to give God praise, we desire praise and recognition ourselves. I've never found anywhere in all of the Bible where praising God is out of order as far as God and heaven is concerned. So here the psalmist talks about praising the Lord. Some 13 times, if you were to count them, and I don't insist that you do that now. Do it after you get home. I'll be halfway through the sermon before some of you find all 13 of them. But nonetheless, some 13 times, the psalmist here calls upon us to praise the Lord. In fact, the last five of the psalms, from Psalm 146, 47, 8, 9, and here Psalm 50, these last five psalms have often been referred to as the Hallelujah Psalms. And indeed, they are psalms that are given in utterance of praise unto God. Back in the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse number 7, you remember that the Bible, in its record of God's creation of man, says this, "And God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. He made him out of the dust of the earth and then breathed into man the breath of life." In other words, because God breathed in, we indeed are enabled to breathe out. He breathed into man life that man might breathe out praises unto the God who had created him. Now, we really have no record as far as the verse or printed page of the Word of God is concerned as to Adam's first word. Have you ever wondered what the first thing Adam said when he came to life? God had formed and molded him out of his hands from the dust, and now he has breathed in his nostrils. His eyes come open, and now I've often wondered, what did Adam say? What was his first word? I said to my daughter in the car the other day, I said, what was the baby's first word? And the baby's first word, that as far as I guess you can recognize, is something that sounds like mama or dada. And all of us daddies try our best to teach them to say mama first in case they wake up at 2:30 in the morning and we can say, honey, the young'un's calling for you. But nonetheless, yet there's a recognition of a parent, of a father, of mother. And I cannot help but believe that in my own heart, the first word that ever came out of the mouth of that first man must have been this very word, hallelujah, which simply means praise the Lord. I cannot help but think that Adam must have rejoiced as he looked into the face of the one who indeed had created him. By the way, in the last verse of this Psalm 150, the very last verse, the last praise the Lord, do you see that? That term, praise the Lord, comes from a word in the Hebrew language that is literally hallelujah. And the word hallelujah is a compound word. It is made up of two words. First, there is the word hallelujah, which simply means praise. And then there is added the Hebrew term Yah, and which simply is translated Jehovah. So the word hallelujah simply means praise Jehovah, or praise ye the Lord, or praise God. And so the word itself could have well been the first word that came from the breath of the first man. And yet, how sad it is to hear men and women and young people in this day, with the very breath that God gave them, instead of giving forth praise and thanks to God, they are breathing out profanities, blasphemies, cursings, lies, dishonesty, vulgarity, hatred, and anger. What a shame upon mankind who has been created by God and given the very breath that sustains his life, that instead of giving thanks and praise to God, he spews out the venom of profanity and vulgarity. My friend, if you are in the habit of using foul language, I pray God will make you so miserable till you'll realize, listen, the very breath that you're using to damn God with is the very breath God gave you. So what a shame that the breath God has given a man is used for the wrong purpose. And there are three things I want you to look with me about concerning this matter of praise. Three things. First, I want you to look at the voice of praise. Secondly, I want you to think about the vitality of praise. And thirdly, the victory of praise. Think with me for a moment. The voice of praise. The word voice or voice comes from a word in the language of the New Testament, phoné. And the word phoné is a very understandable word. It's been brought over into our English language and we hear it every day. The telephone, the word phoné, meaning telephone, we hear a sound from a distance. In other words, phonograph is another use of that same term. It suggests sound that is recorded. The teachers today teach children how to read through a method called phonetics. It is through the method of sound, the sound of letters and so forth. So the word phoné, or that's translated voice, actually means sound. That is, something, get this, that is heard. In other words, we're talking about that which is vocal. It is something that is of sound. It is something that indeed is heard. Now the question is this, how should we praise God? How can I praise God? There are many means whereby we can praise Him. First of all, as you look in the Bible, you'll find that you can praise God with your lips. And over again, you'll find that the praising God with the lips is evident throughout the Word of God. Look, for example, at Psalm 42 and verse number 4. And the psalmist said, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. He's talking about voice, sound, something that is vocal. Again, in Psalm 47 and verse number 1, the psalmist said, Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. In Psalm 98, in verse number 4, the psalmist again says, Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing. And then simply this, in Psalm 63 and verse 3, the psalmist said, Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Now look up here. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you praised God with your lips? How long has it been since even at home you said over your lips, your voice, the sound that came forth was the sound of praise that is given unto the Lord God. I like the record in Luke chapter 19 of our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the Bible said as our Lord came into the city, the people began to lay the palm leaves down as he rode in on that little donkey. And the scripture says this in verse 37 of Luke 19. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Isn't it strange that you read in the Bible where men and women were vocal in their praise of God, but isn't it strange that we have grown so silent when we come into God's house even? When we go about our own homes, when we go about our jobs, how silent we are. We feel rather embarrassed if somebody would ever hear us say, Praise the Lord. Down at the job, at the mill, at the machine, or at the store, or in the office, or in the classroom, if we should ever be heard giving praise to God, how embarrassing that would be. Well, I want to tell you, it wasn't embarrassing to Israel, nor to the disciples, when they with a loud, listen, they didn't just say, Praise the Lord. I believe they yelled at the top of their voice. I believe you could have heard them over Jerusalem as they were shouting praises unto God for what He had done. I wonder if the reason we do not, do we have or are we aware of anything to praise Him for? Has He ever done anything for you? Has He ever accomplished anything in your life? Has He ever saved you? Has He ever forgiven you? Has He ever given you a promise of heaven? Has He ever done those things? Then why should we be reluctant? Why should we be timid? Why should we be ashamed to give Him praise? Ah, we don't have the trouble on the other end of our emotional plane. Somebody crosses our wire and you can hear us yelling at them in anger for a half a mile. Strange that we say, well, I just don't believe in being emotional. Strange creature, aren't you? Strange that we can be emotional when we're angry and upset with, if it's not our husband or wife, it's the dog or cat or the cows or a bull that keeps getting out all the time. And yet again, vocal sound of praise to God. Where do we ever find anywhere in the Bible that that's outdated? I'm going to tell you the fact, when you get to heaven, I'll guarantee you, you're going to hear plenty of it. For even there, men and women are praising God, and the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim are praising God vocally. They are shouting and saying, Holy, holy, holy. We can praise Him with our lips. Certainly we can praise God with our life. The scripture says in Psalm 119 and verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. He's talking about the uprightness of life. We praise Him by the kind of life that we live, the conduct of our life, the behavior of our life. When men and women see that very evidence of Christ in us, they have reason to praise Him. We praise Him by living the kind of life we ought to live. But we can praise Him as well with our love, our commitment to Him. We praise Him. We give ourselves to Him. We've committed ourselves to even not only Him, but to His Word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. By keeping His Word, by doing what He says, by obedience, by submission, we are in reality praising God with the very love of our heart. And certainly we can praise Him with our loyalty, our faithfulness. How unfaithful we are to God, but yet how faithful He is to us. How loyal He is. How faithful in His forgiveness, in His guidance, in His provisions, in the sustaining of our lives. And yet we should praise Him with our faithfulness. And oh, how I've rejoiced time and again, and I've mentioned this several times. I thank God for folks like Mama Daniels, who's here. Her loyalty, her faithfulness to God. And I'll guarantee you, when the Lord, if the Lord should not come soon, should take her from us, I think you will remember this precious saint of God who was loyal and faithful to God. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Here's a precious saint of God in her 80s. And I'll guarantee you, if these doors are open and Mama Daniel thinks she'll be here. Yet some of us are far younger and healthier and stronger, and we cannot even be faithful to God in a systematic way Sunday after Sunday or Wednesday after Wednesday. I know that kind of preaching hurts, but I think we need to face reality. Oh, how we need to praise God with our faithfulness, with our loyalty to Him. And certainly we can praise Him with our liberality. We praise Him in the gifts that we give to God, that of our substance that He's blessed us with. We praise Him as we bring our offerings unto God. All through Psalm 150, the psalmist talks about ways whereby I can praise Him. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Blow the horn, he said. That's not too quiet. You ever heard a quiet trumpet? Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. One dear black preacher read the psaltery is the peasel tree. And he talked about a peasel tree he planted outside his window, and the thing grew up. And he crawled out his window every morning, getting that peasel tree, and waved back and forth, and praise God. He'd shout, praise God, in that peasel tree. Well, that's not too good of exegesis of the Scripture. But I think he got the point. Whether it's in a peasel tree or what, bud, you ought to praise God. So he sang with a psaltery, the chanting of the psalms, the sound of the harp. We praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Phil said to me one time, you preachers always preach about the modern dance, and the Bible even talks about praising God with a dance. Well, I want to tell you something. If you'll dance at the nightclub like David danced before God, have at it. But while you're over there, while you're dancing at the nightclub and the prom, why don't you start saying, praise God, hallelujah for Jesus. Glory to God for salvation. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Well, yeah, you'll break it up in a hurry, won't you? You're welcome. But the truth is, David said, praise Him. And I believe he's told it. With lip, with life, with limb, praise God. And David is jumping up and down. I like that kind of shindigging, boy. Not only that, but he said, praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him with a loud cymbal. Can you imagine that? Coming here on Sunday morning, somebody stand up here, maybe Ann Ramey clanging the cymbals. And maybe we got Margaret over here. She clangs the high sounding cymbal. I'm going Bible. And I'm not suggesting, Ann, that you bring the cymbal next week. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that here with everything we have. And David just summed up and said, hey, everything that has breath, praise God. Every living creature, give God praise and honor and glory. So how can we praise Him? In these many ways. What is praise, anyhow? What is to praise God? First of all, it's to magnify God. When you praise God, you are magnifying God. Psalm 69 and verse 30, listen to this. Now, don't try to find all these references. Flipping through your Bible, you'll miss it. Let me just read it to you. Jot them down, read them when you get home. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God
with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving.
How in the world do you magnify God? He's bigger than all of us. Is that what the word magnifying God means? You don't make God any bigger than He is. He is the omnipotent God. You don't make Him any more powerful than He is. Then what is the psalmist simply saying here? He's simply saying by praising Him, you turn the spotlight on God. You turn the focus on God. You're not taking credit for yourself. You're not saying, hey, look what I did, like old Nebuchadnezzar in his pride, who said, look at this great Babylon which I have built. Look what I have done. Instead of that, if he had turned and said, praise God, look what God did, he'd have turned the spotlight on God. Do you know what he's doing? Turn the spotlight on himself. And often we do that. Look what I've done. Look what I could do. Look what I have done. Look at all this. Instead of that, we'll say, praise God for what he has done. And even if he did it through you, he is the one who did it. He is the one who did it. So here, praising, glorifying him. That's what it means. When we magnify God, we're glorifying him. Psalm 50, verse 23. I want you to jot this one down. Psalm 50 and verse 23, and the verse says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Hear it again. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. I wonder what impress it would make on little children if they knew when mom and dad came to church and they heard mom and daddy saying, praise the Lord. If at home they heard mom and daddy saying, instead of fussing and fighting and quarreling and arguing and being harsh, if they'd hear mom and daddy say, honey, I praise the Lord for you. I praise the Lord for this house. I praise the Lord for that he's put in the house. I give him praise. Oh, what an impress that would make on the hearts of young men and women. And yet we're not doing it to impress somebody. We're just doing it because it's the right thing to do. Because we recognize God. We turn the spotlight on him and we give him sincere praise. Now to praise God not only means to magnify him, but it means to prize him. To prize him. Our word praise actually is of French origin. The word in French is praise. Hope I got it right, you French students. Which simply means to prize. That's where our word praise comes from. So when we're praising God, we're prizing God. That is to say, we are verbalizing our esteem for God. We are pronouncing Him outwardly, vocally, worthy of honor. That's what the angels do in the Revelation. In chapter 5 of Revelation, verse 12. When the seal, no one could be found in heaven to break that seal of the title deed of the earth. The Lord Jesus came forth and He broke that seal and claimed the title deed of this earth. And the angels said in verse 12, they said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. With a loud voice, they praised Him. In other words, they estimated the worth of the Lord Jesus. They esteemed Him worthy of honor. They prized Him. And when we praise Him, indeed, that's what we're doing. An old-time Bible teacher said long years ago, if you want to get in good with God, just brag on His Son. If you want to get in good with God, just brag on His Son. If you want to get in good with the man or a woman, just brag on their children. I want to tell you something. When we give praise to the Lord Jesus, oh, listen, it delights the heart of our God. To praise Him is not only to magnify Him, to prize Him, but it's literally to adore Him. When we're praising God, we in essence from our heart are saying, Lord Jesus, I adore You. Praise then is simply vocal adoration of God. Listen, how would you feel, sir or ma'am, if your husband was of such a nature that he didn't want anybody to ever hear him say or her say that you loved them? Now, my wife doesn't look around every time in the house to see if we got visitors. And she doesn't go out and see if any cars drove up in the yard before she says to me, "Honey, I love you." I'm glad she's not that careful. The whole story is oftentimes we'll say, "Now, Lord, I want to praise you, but I want to be sure nobody's listening. I don't want anybody looking. I don't want anybody seeing." Listen, I'd kind of get a little suspicious of that, wouldn't you? And yet the Lord is saying, when we adore Him, we are offering vocal adoration, praise. We're praising God vocally in our adoration of Him. Now, adoration is the act of rendering divine honor. It is rendering esteem. It is the act of rendering love. The word adore is too a compound word. It's a Latin word, actually, brought over in our English language. The word adore comes from the Latin word adorare. I'll get it in a minute. Adorare. And the word orare in Latin means speak. The word ad, simply put as a prefix, means to. Adorare in the Latin means to speak. It means to vocalize one's devotion. It means to vocalize one's esteem, to vocalize one's love. So here, when we praise God, when we are praising the Lord, we are vocally adoring Him. Now, the word itself, adore, this is very interesting. The word adore itself is derived from a very ancient expression. And that expression simply meant to apply the hand to the mouth. Do you get it? To apply the hand to the mouth. That's the word adore. In other words, again, I'm talking about a vocal expression of praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you praise for this, for that, for thyself. I praise you. It is a vocal expression of adoration. Now, why should we praise God? Why should you praise God? Why should I? Well, first of all, to praise God puts God in His rightful place. It puts Him in His rightful position. You see, when a man offers thanks to God upon any occasion, he is saying, "Lord, I know all the glory and the credit belongs to you." An interesting thing I've discovered. In Jesus' teaching on how to pray, He taught His disciples to pray after this manner: "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In other words, the first part of the Lord's teaching on prayer had to do with praise. That is, the word hallowed indeed comes from the word hagiazo, that means to set apart. But it also implies to make a thing or a person opposite that which is common. Hallowed. And we're saying in our praise to God, "Lord, you're not common. You're not like us earthlings, like us weaklings and sinful, depraved, imperfect beings. We set you apart. God, you are opposite from that which is common. We praise you that you are indeed God." Praise then puts God in His rightful position. Not only that, but praise is unselfish. When we're praising God for what He has done, we're not claiming the credit to ourselves. Actually, it decentralizes self. When we praise God, it takes us as our self-life, takes us out of the central position. Actually, it gives credit where credit is due. It gives honor where honor is due, and it brings glory to Him. You remember this incident in Joshua When Achan had sinned in stealing the garment, the Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold, the shekels of silver. You remember when Joshua lined all that tribe up in front of him? He came down the line and he stopped in front of Achan. You remember what he said to Achan? My son, give glory to God. You know what he is saying? He is saying, Achan, put God first. You have taken him out of first position. You have put him in a back seat of your life. You have disobeyed him, and your disobedience is indication that God is not first in your life. So when we praise God and honor him in that way, we are decentralizing self and replacing God in that position that he rightly should have in our lives. It shifts the center of life from self to God. As we learn to praise it, shifts the center of life from self to God. It's to praise God, why should we? It turns God's attention toward us. When you begin to praise God, listen, God hears that. He is worthy of praise. And when we begin to thank him and praise him, God pays attention to that. Let me ask you a question on the human level. Have you ever been talking or somebody been talking to you and you really wasn't hearing it, but all of a sudden they got to complimenting you. They began to praise you. They're talking about what a wonderful person you are, what a great talent you have, what ability you have, how handsome you are. Oh, how beautiful you are, young lady. Listen, when that happens, you know what? They could be a train wreck across the street. And you would hear what they said. Now, a human illustration of God falls far short of right understanding. But as we praise God, we gain God's attention. I want you to look at a passage, and I'm going to read this. I want you to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, just a minute, way back in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and read with me verse number 13. And 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Now watch this. And listen, if you don't have the Bible read, I want you to listen carefully. Don't miss this. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in what? Praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Watch what happened. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Do you see that in Scripture? God moved in on the scene when? Solomon had done a lot of praying, but all the thing that brought down the glory was God's people singing and praising God, saying, his mercy endures forever. Now, they weren't saying that in their heart, though indeed they were. They are saying it with their lips, praising God for his mercy. Isn't it strange that we can get excited about everything in the country except God? You've seen these game shows on television? Somebody's name is called and they say, come on down. And I mean, here they come a-running, jumping and hollering and screaming. And just because what? Because they got a chance to be on a TV show. And if they should ever win anything, they could win a year's supply of foot powder. And yet, you know what they'd do? If they win money or anything, man, they're jumping up and down, hollering, screaming, yelling. And we come to God's house where we are to worship a resurrected Savior, a living Lord, a living God, a powerful God who has sustained us and blesses us. And we somehow just kind of, praise the Lord. Amen. Boy, he's so good to us. Listen, I believe it would honor God and unnerve Slewfoot if every one of us would just shout aloud, praise God, every time we turned around. Now, when the devil throws something tough in your path, instead of you going down and saying, oh, me, what's going to happen to me? Look what trouble I'm in. Why don't you say, praise God. Thank you, Lord. This problem, this trouble is reminding me of you and of my need of you. And anything, Lord, you send along to help me be reminded of you, thank you for that. You lost your job. Why don't you say, praise the Lord. You reminded me again that you're still up there on the throne. That I'm dependent on you and nothing else. I thank you, God, for what you've done, what you are, for the ordering of my life by your hand. Indeed, there is the need of praise. And as we praise God, I believe the Lord listens. I believe His ear is attuned to us. And I believe as we praise Him in the home, on the job, in the church, in our worship time, as we praise Him, I believe God listens. You know what I think He likes to hear more than a eloquent sermon, a beautifully polished choir, trained musicians, His little children just saying, praise you, dear Lord. Thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. Thank you for who you are. Praise your name for being my Savior. For what should we praise Him, you ask? We could go on and on at that point, couldn't we? Actually, we ought to praise Him for everything. It's what Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 20. Give Him thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do what? Praise God for all things, yeah. The good, the bad, the ugly, the short, the tall, the fat, the ups, the downs, the forward motions, the backward motions, yes. Praise Him in all those things. Listen, the devil can't stand that. He can't take that. Neither can any of his young'uns. When we're giving praise to God, and the devil drops a tree on your automobile, and you come up there and say, Lord, thank you for the tree and the car. And thank you, I wasn't even in it. Thank you, Lord, for what He was sent my way. The devil can't handle that. For recognizing that God orders our steps. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know when you want to be in the will of God? Praise Him for everything. What the Scripture said. Thank Him. Give Him praise. 1 Chronicles 29:13 says, now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. You can praise God for His name. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God for all His name implies. Listen, when you have a time of prayer, and God would deal with me about this thing. Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know what would transform every one of our homes and lives and church? An hour with God every day. I guarantee it would change every one of us. But in that hour, certainly there ought to be a period of time where we do nothing but thank Him for who He is. To meditate upon God. To think about Him. To praise Him, yes, for His holiness. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:21 says, and when he, Jehoshaphat, had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. Can you imagine a bunch of singers running in front of a squad of soldiers before they go to battle? And all they're doing is hollering, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God for the beauty of His holiness. Ah, praise is definitely a part of the victorious Christian life. We ought to thank Him indeed for His loving kindness, for His Word. I read the psalmist saying it, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all that is above all thy name. You ought to thank God for the word. You ought to just pick it up every day and say, Lord, I thank you for this book. Thank you for the word, your message of love to me, your guidance, your wisdom that I find in this blessed old book. I want to praise him for his mighty acts. Psalm 150, verse 2 that we read. Are you listening still? David said, praise him for his mighty acts. From the smallest atom to the greatness of everything in this universe, we have reason to praise him. One year, a dear friend of mine who is now in heaven, Brother Larry, knew this brother, Brother Bell. You knew Brother Hugh Sorrows. One of the prayingest men I think I've ever known in my life. He spent the night with us several times that I'll never forget on an occasion in the summer. Hugh came to spend the night with us. And Pat and I got up the next morning early, we thought real early, to get out in the bean patch and pick the beans. And I was out there and Pat was out there, we're picking beans. Every once in a while I thought I could hear something. And I said to Pat after a while, I said, do you hear somebody talking? And she said, well, yes. We paused a moment in our business, and I heard Brother Sorrows out to the back side of the garden. He'd already been out there, I don't know how long. And I just crawled out the end of the bean row, just kind of eavesdropping, see what he's talking to God about. And I heard him say, Lord, thank you for the beans you gave this preacher on this vine. Give him a nice garden here, Lord. He said, that corn sure does look good. And he said, God, this beautiful sunshine that you sent down on us today. Oh, Lord, when I walked out here in the grass, the dew was just all over the ground. Oh, he said, you've done so many things for me. And he said, I want you to bless my preacher, friend. Bless his family. Lord, God, I just fell down on my face out in that garden. I thought, here's a dear man who's learned the secret of praising God for his mighty acts. A bean on a vine? An atom? A universe? A solar system? But he praised God, for he is the one who deserves it. Listen, you can find something to praise God for everywhere you turn. I even praise God for what few hair I've got left. Larry can do the same. I praise God for everything. That's what we ought to do. And that's what God's Word's all about. Listen, folks, if we'd stop grumbling and griping and growling and murmuring and complaining and begin to see what God's done in His mighty acts, who He is, listen, you would have a transformation of life. The people that you work with wouldn't even know you. Soon the wrinkled, furrowed brow of worry and fretting would smooth away. There would be a joyous spirit, a heart full of gratitude and praise unto the dear Lord. Amen. I got to close this. Already 5 after 12, y'all starving to death, I can tell. Let me give you one other. Why should we praise Him? Well, we ought to praise Him because He commands us to do so. In Psalm 145, verse 1 and 2, not only why should we pray if God commands, but let me say this. David said when you ought to praise Him. Psalm 145 says, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and forever. Psalm 34 and verse 1, you remember this? Brother Paul Massey sings this every once in a while. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Did you get that? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When should I praise Him? I ought to praise Him all the time. I ought to give Him thanks. You know, I know you can't run around just saying nothing else in vocal expression but praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But the praise can be a habit of life. And there will come moments when that volcano will erupt. And people around you and loved ones will know that you're giving credit to God for what He has done. Praising God then should become a daily habit. It should become a way of life. But let me tell you this, and finally, we do not learn this habit of life overnight. Since all of our life, most of us have been complaining, it takes a good while to substitute a good habit for a bad one. Most of us complain and growl and gripe. But the psalmist said, I'll praise Him every day. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You ought to praise Him when you feel like it, yeah, and when you don't feel like it. Just praise Him because He said to it, because He deserves it. Give Him thanks. Praise the Lord. That's the message. There's vitality in it. Oh, what strength comes when we praise God. Have you ever noticed how good you feel when you really pay an honest compliment to somebody? And it cheers their heart. Somebody just does something to you, doesn't it? Praise is a positive force. Do you realize this? You'll get more out of people by praising them than you do criticizing them. You'll get more out of praising them than you will condemning them. And yet, praise is a positive force in our life. The opposite of that, of praise, is complaint, is defeat, griping, moaning, complaining. That's a negative force. And that negative force begins to push us down. I'm going to wind it up, I promise, this time. I've lied three times already. Let me give you one thing more to think about. In a relationship of husband and wife or just friend with friend, when you talk down a person and you criticize that person constantly, always something negative, always something to push them down, you're not going to get the best out of that person's life. A husband, a wife, a parent, certainly, ought to have a positive way of dealing with his family members. To praise them where praise is due. And you can, listen, you can always find something to praise somebody for. But you know, because of our depraved nature, we're always thinking in the negative. Why didn't you do this? Why did you do that? A negative thing. Instead of giving any kind of compliment, positive praise, we destroy people. And the lack of praise in us will destroy us. Praise the Lord. I thank Him. Listen, even for the victory that comes in praising Him. How victorious you can be. Today, even if you're an unsaved man or woman, you ought to thank God that He thought about you ere you were ever born. You ought to thank God for the cross on which He died to provide salvation and to keep you out of hell. You ought today, if you've never even been saved, you ought to thank God that He loved you enough and had mercy enough to spare you till this very moment. You can thank God for a lot of things. And child of God, let's under God in this place, in our homes, in our lives. Let's make our praise to God a way of life, a habit in life. God help us. Let's bow our heads and stand together for prayer. Got a lot of other things I'd like to say and have kept you a while, but I hope you understand this, folks, this morning. I ain't been up here just popping my bill and trying to act like a preacher. I've told you something this morning, literally, that'll transform your life if you'll put it into practice. If you will begin to develop the habit of praising God, oh, how blessed it can be. Today you may be a child of God and you've drifted away from the Lord. If you've asked God to forgive you, the Bible said if you'd confess your sin, He'd forgive you. And I want to tell you something, He has. And you ought to just turn and thank God for His forgiveness. But you say, I don't feel like it. God didn't say thank Him because you felt like it, but because He made the promise. Rejoice in all of His provision. Give Him thanks from your heart. Today, if in your heart and life, God speaks to you Maybe you need to come today to renew your vows of the Lord, to confess your sin. Maybe you need to come today, you've never been saved. You've never, never been born again. I want to ask you right now as we sing, why don't you settle this thing with God? Let Christ into your life. You've been trying to be a Christian without Christ for so long. Why don't you let Him into your life? Trust Him as your Savior. If you're here and need to join this church by promise of letter, statement, however, I want you to come and tell me your desire. As we sing, God help you to come right now. Sing without heads prayerfully.